Morning. Hello. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Amen. We started yesterday on chapter 12. As mentioned, 12, 13, and 14 are discussions that Paul addresses a question. So he starts off, now concerning spiritual gifts. So let me give you a quick run over. The first part, the first three verses of 12, refer to the importance of utterance. You know, in verse 3, where he says, when no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is a curse, and no one speaking by can say Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit, he's talking about prophetic utterance that's happening in the church. And so he's talking about the validity of utterance, and then he goes into a section called the unity of the gifts, and then he talks about the diversity of the gifts, and then we get to 12, we're at now, which is the primacy of love. And then in 14, we'll talk about the superiority of prophecy in the context of public worship. And so he, as I mentioned yesterday, he bookends gifts, you know, full-on talking about the gifts, and then again, full-on talking about the gifts, but in the context of the usage in worship. In other words, how to administer the gift in a public setting. And so, and sandwiched in between that is this chapter on love. Now, you have to understand, early scholars, they really had in some ways, had a problem with Paul because of chapter 13. And the reasoning was, chapter 13 is so beautiful. How could Paul write this? It's so profound, and the usage of his words. And because if you take chapter 13 and you take that out of Pauline literature, then everything kind of flows together. You know, he's writing a letter. It's quite clear. He's pretty bold in his writing. In fact, Corinthians says he's quite bold in his writing. He tells people, you know, when I'm absent, you know, I'm this. But when I'm, you know, when I'm absent, I'm bold in his letters. But when I'm with you, you know, I'm kind of mild-mannered and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so, because chapter 10 is so beautiful, obviously, Paul wrote it, and the reason we can explain how a human being could write something so lovely is because it's the Holy Spirit operating in their life. I hope this gives many of us a lot of hope. You know, many of us may not think we're so talented or we're so gifted or creative or any of these things, but man, the Spirit of God is working inside of you. You can become very, very eloquent. I mean, you can become incredibly creative in many different ways. And you could actually go back to the Old Testament where the Spirit of God came upon artisans and craftsmen and carpenters when they were building his house and you know, parts of the temple and all these things. And the Bible is clear. The Spirit of God came upon these people. And because of that, they were able to build and do some of the most amazing things. And he's talking about the excellence of love, and but I'm going to share again later on what he's not saying. Because sometimes people teach about what he's not saying, and so I'm going to get to that in the end. But he starts off and he says, look, if I, well, actually, it starts off at verse 31. And so for some reason, they cut it off too late. 31 starts, but earnest desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. And if I speak, so it's actually the thought is continuing there. And if I speak with tongues of men, angels, and I do not have love, I'm just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. He says, if I can do these amazing things, if I have the gift of prophecy, I know all mysteries, knowledge, and if I have faith. Now, again, a lot of people, especially in a certain camp, they will take chapter 13 to see, look, this is why the gifts are no longer here. This is why we shouldn't worry ourselves about the gifts of the Spirit that much anymore. But if you actually read very carefully, Paul is not only talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He starts off by talking about tongues, and then he talks about prophecy, and then he starts talking about faith, and then he starts talking about charity, and then he even starts talking about, burning your body. And, I mean, I don't know about you, but those have nothing to do with the gifts of the Spirit. And so he's just completing a thought process, talking about the primacy of love, the superiority of love. And like I shared yesterday, when we're operating the gifts, because, remember, the gifts, always Paul connects giftedness or spiritual gifts to the body of Christ. Romans 12, you got the other list. Just before then, he talks about the body. 1 Corinthians, same thing. He's talking about the gifts, and it's connected to the body. And so because the gifts were given to us, God gave individually, but the purpose was always corporately. God gave us as individuals, and then the outcome was for a corporate setting. Now, the only gift, and there's actually some debate about if this is actually a gift or not, is actually your prayer language. Your prayer language is really the only one that's given for yourself. It's just given for your own personal edification. Jude talks about it actually builds us up in the spirit, in the inner man. And so prayer language, and I mean, I don't want to get the whole discussion where we categorize it, but prayer language is actually something that's given to yourself, but in the same way, it's given to yourself to make you more effective that you could give to the body, if you guys kind of understand what I'm saying. And so there's a kind of a difference. I don't want to lump everything together. And then he says all these things, and if you don't have love, then what you've just done in your incredible faith, you're even burning yourself up and all kinds of things. You know, he's talking about martyrdom, all these things. And then he says, if you don't have love, it's an absolute waste. And so the motivation by which we operate in our gifts must be love. It can't be self-centered. It can't be about me being gifted or me being powerful or me being recognized. Or a lot of these motivations come into our lives when we are operating these gifts. And it was very present in the Corinthian church. And he says the motivation by which you operate has to be love. You do this, you operate in this way, you develop these things because you love people, because you love the body, because we are so interconnected with each other to the fact that if one person suffers, we all suffer because we're one. There's no division, there's no distinction. We're all of the same. And so he's talking about this primacy of love. And then he goes, and this is the really beautiful part. You probably read this in almost any wedding that you go to. Love is patient, love is kind. And so you have a few positives, and then it goes into negatives. In other words, don't do this. It's not jealous, love does not brag, is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now, I want to suggest to you that this love, twofold. One is that as a human being, this is impossible. Straight out. Okay? I've been married for 10 years. I don't know if actually one day in my life, in 10 years of marriage, I fulfilled verse 4 through verse 8. Maybe one day, maybe if I slept the whole day or something like that. But if I was awake and communicating with my wife and, you know, those type of things, I can almost guarantee you, I don't know if, well, maybe my wedding day, you know, maybe. I'm thinking that might be a possibility, you know, or definitely at least one day in the honeymoon at least. But overall, I mean, all to say, outside of God, this is a near impossibility for us as human beings. This is why I actually like to read this passage in every wedding that I officiate. Because I want people to know and understand that this is the level that God wants. When we talk about marriage covenant and when we say, I love you, you know, it's become quite an empty word in our culture, that this is what God is meaning. When we talk about it, we're going to commit our lives to one another. This is bears all things, endures all things. I mean, think of like broken distrust and, you know, can I actually just go off the radar a little bit? And I'll be honest, I've been really thinking a lot these days about divorce. And not my wife and I, we're good. So I don't want you to get a wrong idea. You know, we're actually very good. But just, you know, every once in a while, you get into these modes where something comes up in discussion with someone, and then you start really thinking about divorce, and you start really thinking about what God is saying about divorce and these kind of things. And in the scriptures, it's quite clear, and even Jesus says this, that divorce is not even in God's vocabulary as a covenant God, but only in the issue of adultery. And so we throw that aside. But I've been, you know, and once you start thinking about these kind of things, my mind wanders in many, you know, probably like many of you. And then I start thinking about, well, how about in an abusive situation? How about if, you know, the woman is getting beat up all the time? Surely there must be an avenue for divorce in this context. But, you know, biblically, I mean, I don't want people to get mad at me, but biblically, there actually is no way out in this way. And he says it endures all things, bears all things. I know that seems a bit unfair, you know, and I've read some websites and I've read some books and, you know, you get different positions and whatnot. But if we're going to really be biblical, there really is really only one avenue out, because this is the nature of love. Now, obviously, one person is not loving the other, and so if this couple was coming to me, I would counsel separation. I would say, you need to live here, and you need to live here, and you need to get some anger management treatment, man, and maybe even go to jail, you know, and then, you know, but divorce, no. Because it's this supremacy of love. Love bears all things. Love endures all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. I mean, there's something quite powerful about this, and, you know, there's all these other aspects of divorce as well I don't want to get into, but it's so powerful, this love that God wants us to experience. The other part of this love, not only impossibility as human beings, the other part of this love is really, if you actually take this, and if you take out the word love and put in Jesus, it's really quite nice. Because it makes sense. Now, you take out, you know, if you take out love and put Rayfill, it ain't going to make sense. Or any of our names, you know, it's not going to make sense at all. But if you put in Jesus, let me read this for you. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus is not jealous. Jesus does not brag. Jesus is not arrogant. He does not act unbecomingly. He does not seek its own. He is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Remember, he hung on the cross and he forgave people. He does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. He bears all things, believes all things. Jesus hopes all things. Jesus endures all things. This is the best part, number 8. Jesus never fails. Wow. This is the Lord that we have. I mean, I'm telling you, you cannot substitute love and put any other person in this thing or anything that we worship. Money is patient. Money is kind. It is not jealous. Money does not brag. Oh, you already lost it. It doesn't work. Put anything in here. You know, Siddhartha is patient. Siddhartha is kind. Siddhartha is Buddha, if you don't know. Siddhartha does not, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Only Jesus the Christ works. Because this passage, I mean, for me, I think it really is, it's about Jesus. This is who he is. And so, in a sense, we have a model for us. When we talk about this kind of love, we have this model in our Savior. And so Paul can say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I think my feeling is, and I hope that, I believe this is right, not just hope, I know this is right, that as we grow and mature in God, and as more of God's life and God's character and his priorities and his purposes are displayed in our life, and we become more like Jesus, and I think these things manifest in our life. You know, as we get older and more mature in God, we should become more loving. Did you know in the world, as you get older, you actually get more grumpier? There's actually a medical study that for men, there's this enzyme or there's something, I'll have to find the research again, but it's an actual study. There's actually this enzyme or something that's produced, chemical that's produced in men, and when they reach a certain age, it stops producing, or it slows down quite a bit, and the result is that men actually get grumpier as they get older. I mean, this is a true, and so that's a natural flowing of the medical of a, especially a man. Women are a bit different, but men, it's the whole idea of grumpy old men, it's really true. We actually get grumpier as we get older, but if you think in that context, as we draw closer to God, you know, our theme is to know him, to be like him. And as we mature in the Lord and we become more like Jesus, I think we become more loving. And that's our pursuit, to walk intimately with God. As we walk intimately with the Lord, we become more like the Lord. We become his mirror in essence. And so you should be more loving as the years go by. That could very easily be a sign of your growth in Christ. Not necessarily how powerful you are or how much more knowledge that you have. Remember, we read all the way in the beginning of Corinthians, knowledge does what? It puffs you up, but love builds you up. It's a totally different thing. So we now, our spirituality in many ways is measured by how much knowledge that we have. When Paul says knowledge is nothing, knowledge just makes you arrogant. Instead, the litmus test of our spirituality should be how much more loving we are, how that operates. I'll tell you one of the ways it operates. This is when I know, for me, this is just for me personally, this is when I know that I'm in good standing with God, that I'm really walking with the Lord, and it's the ability that I have to forgive someone quickly. That's just for me. Many of you guys have different barometers, but when I've suffered a wrong or something, I've been slighted or some way, and the quickness for me personally in my ability to quickly forgive somebody, and when that happens really quickly, I know, man, I'm just walking with God. You know, I mean, I'm in step with the Spirit. It's not how much more knowledge that I have or how gifted I am or how effective I am in ministry. God could use a donkey. You know what I mean? So let's be really honest about that. But it should be how much more loving and how that love is expressed. For me, it's really the issue of forgiveness. That it just flows so easily when I'm in step with the Spirit. And so this is what he's after. He bears all things, love never fails. And then he gets into this part. And let me tell you what he's not saying in a moment. If there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. This has been used many years in what they call dispensational theology. And to say, hey, see, you know, prophecy doesn't exist anymore. This doesn't exist anymore. That's not what Paul is saying. He's just saying, again, in connection with love, because everything we do, which is true, is we only see in part. And that's kind of the beauty and also the agony of operating in spiritual gifts, is that there's always a faith element attached to it. There's always a risk when we operate in the gifts. We're always risking something. And so if there are gifts of prophecy, done away all these things, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, what's the perfect referring to? For a long time, a lot of people thought the perfect was referring to the Bible, but it's not. Any decent student of the scriptures will understand the perfect he's talking about is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, then the partial will be done away. And then he continues, when I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. Now, a lot of people have assumed that that operating in spiritual gifts is actually childish. But that's not what Paul is saying again. Right? Paul is just saying, right, he's talking about, again, the context is the perfect. When Jesus comes, right, then we come into this place of maturity. Now, Ephesians, they talk about the same thing. Right, we come into the fullness of the stature of Christ. And so in this context, and what he's saying is, when Jesus comes, it's like before that, we just do childish things. We don't know any better. We're like little kids running around. But when he comes, then we're going to know fully. We'll be fully known. We'll kind of understand. And here's this beautiful picture. Now we see in a mirror dimly. It's kind of like we see a bit, but it's not the most clearest picture. But when Jesus comes, man, we're going to get the clearest picture. And we're going to know fully and also be fully known. Have you ever heard this idea? We understand that we've heard this thing. There's a lot of potential that the human brain, we only use, like Einstein only used like 10% of his brain. And that guy was a genius. And so most of us are probably operating on 2, 3%, you know, 8% maybe. And can you imagine? And so this is the aspect of being fully known, that we start operating in, because made in God's image are the capacity that God has given to us. And that comes when? It comes when Jesus comes, right? And so I'll be fully known at the time. But now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And right? Again, the gifts operating the church to be a blessing. And it says the motivation behind those gifts has to be love. And Paul's saying, if you didn't understand what love is, let me tell you what love is. And he goes through this, I mean, just absolutely beautiful prose. You know, just so wonderful. And then he continues on. Look, when we operate in the gifts, we don't know fully. We just see a dim picture. But when God comes, when Jesus comes, we're going to see everything very clearly. Amen. So let's close our eyes today. Let's think about this growing in love. At one period of my life, I was so convicted by 1 Corinthians 13. I actually made a printout, you know, on the computer, just really simple. And I replaced love and I put my name in there. I used to read it all the time. Sam is patient. Sam is kind. I mean, fortunately, I didn't do it for a long time. I got so convicted because I wasn't patient. I wasn't kind. I wasn't any of these things, so I kind of stopped doing it. But it might be a good exercise for us, you know, as we meditate on God's word and say, man, Lord, yeah, I want to be kind. I want to be patient. I want to not act unbecomingly. I want to bear all things. I want to hope all things. I want to endure all things. I don't want to be jealous. I don't want to be arrogant. And really, it's all summed up in, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to be like Jesus. I want to have the character of the Lord, and I want to walk in the power of the Lord. And so let's spend some time today and let's ask God to speak to us about our character, about our life. And we all have different temperaments and personalities, but God challenges us all to a life of love, to following and emulating Christ. And so as Monica leads us in a song, let's just meditate on that. Oh, Yvain leads us in a song. Pray together. Let's pray that in ministry, our service, our ministering to others, that the motivation is love. It's not a self-centeredness. It's not a self-realization. That, you know, for myself, right, every sermon, every teaching, you and your service and your ministry to the body, whatever you do, that it's marked by love. The motivation by which we do is love. And I feel like if you do that, you'll never burn out. You'll never get tired of serving. You know, you'll never get tired of doing good, because our motivation flows from the heart of God. And so let's just spend a moment. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for our church, that in the ministry, in the way that we operate, in the gifts and abilities that God has given to us, that we first of all share. And secondly, that it just overflows in love. And let's just pray for a moment. Let's pray for our loved ones that are in a place of need with diseases and needs of surgery and transplants. And let's lift them up before the Lord and ask God to just bring that healing word over their lives, to give skill to the doctors and the medicine that they're using that would bring them to a place of wholeness. And let's lift up. Let's pray for healing, and especially for the healing of their spirit, the word of salvation to flow through other parts of the body of Christ. Go to the next slide. Let's pray for all the people there. Let's pray for those who are also sick, and let's lift them up before the Lord. Let's pray for our members that are looking for work. I don't know if you noticed, but the list gets smaller and smaller. There's actually quite a few people that have received jobs in the last week. And so let's just continue to pray for breakthrough for a lot of these ones. Let's go over our mission focus this morning. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's ask God to continue to touch this country and really bring revival here. Let's pray for the churches in Hong Kong. Let's pray for YWAM, Sports Services International, Shanti Ministries, Godwin and Masters Beauty. Pray for the Red Light District Outreach. Let's also pray for Face to Face and Zhengsheng College, Feed the Hungry, CSW. Let's ask God to use these ministries that we are partnering with and really make an impact here in Hong Kong. I mean, just bless the churches. Pray this weekend over every pulpit in Hong Kong that the gospel, the power of God, flows through the preaching of His Word. And so let's just lift up Hong Kong. Let's pray for our mission trips coming up, the one in Indonesia and also the one in Hong Kong. Let's pray that the team members would just really connect with each other. There'd be a lot of love, a lot of unity as they make preparations. Pray for wisdom and discernment for the leaders as they lead these trips. And let's pray that the kingdom would come, that God would work powerfully through the team members. Let's pray. Let's pray for our church ministries. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound and media team, the welcoming and barista ministry. Let's pray Holy Spirit would just continue to breathe His life over all these teams, all these leaders. That I always said that everyone, as they serve, their motivation would be love. It would just be a blessing to the body. And so let's pray against any fatigue that's happening with these members. Right now, I think we need more volunteers to step up in the welcoming hospitality. And so let's pray that God really speak to people about serving and giving themselves into that ministry. So let's lift up the leaders here. Let's pray over this weekend as a church. There's a lot of things going on. Tonight, McCain House Church is happening. GIC class is happening. Tomorrow, we have Mac Daddy and Bel Air House Churches meeting. We have an all-day mentoring session with Christian Action. There's a movie tomorrow night with the men's ministry, Courageous. Women are actually invited to come as well. It's not just a men's thing. There's premarital counseling going on that night. There's obviously our services on Sunday. There's a board meeting in between the service tomorrow as well. And so let's just really pray and just cover all the different things that are going on. Missions training is happening throughout this time as well. And so let's pray that each of the times as we gather together as a body, be it house church or service or different planning and organizing meetings, that Spirit of God would just hover and just fill that place. And we would just, you know, have a sense of more than ourselves And let's pray that again, we was talking about this all day today, that love would just overflow in this place. And let's cover this weekend before God. I forgot to add, there's also Cascade Counseling that's going on Monday night, Saturday as well. Let's pray for them. We thank you, God, for such a full weekend, Lord. We love it when, God, the church is just humming along, Lord God, doing your will and wanting to see people draw near to you, God, and to really grow in love, grow in grace. And we ask, God, that as we gather, Lord, there will be something supernatural that flows in and through our lives. So would you bless this weekend? Bless us, God, as we continue to pray to seek your face. Lord, make us individually and as a community, God, more like Jesus. Lord, help us, God. Lord, we are at your mercy, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. Have a great weekend. We'll see you guys at church.